The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for halachic services, consultations, and shilas at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
In Parashas Chukas, the Torah relates that the Jews became weary of their journeys through the desert, Batikzar Nefesham Badarach. They complained about Hashem and Moshe. They said, Lama helisunu mi Mitzrayim lamustam in bar. Why did you take us out of Egypt to die in the desert? Ki ein lechem vein mayim. There's no bread, there's no water. V'nafshenu katza balechem hakalokel. We're sick of the man. Hashem punished them by sending hanachashim hasrafim, serpents. V'ayinashchu esam, v'yamasam rav mi Yisrael. The snakes bit and killed many Jews. The people said, chatanu, we have sinned. Ki dibarnu v'ashem v'avach. Please pray to Hashem that he should remove these snakes. Moshe did so. Hashem said, Hashem acceded to their tshuva, to the prayer. He said, make an artificial snake. Place it on a pole. Anyone bitten by a flesh and blood snake will see this artificial snake and will live. Moshe did so. When a snake bit a person, he bit el nachash nechoshes, he would gaze at the copper snake, and he would live. Many of the famous artifacts in the Torah, the Aron, the other vessels of the Mishkan, the Luchos, we don't know with certainty their eventual fate, what happened to them. The nachash nechoshes, the copper snake made by Moshe, is an exception. The Tanakh records exactly what happened to it. 500 years later, in the time of King Chizkiah, Sefer Malachim, the Navi relates, Chizkiah was a zealous campaigner against Avodah Zarah. He eradicated Avodah Zarah wherever he found it. Hu hasiris habamos, he removed the bamos, vishibaras hamatevos, and he broke down the matevos, v'charas es ha'asherah, he cut down the asherah, the Avodah Zarah trees, v'chitas nechash ha'nechoshes asher asa Moshe. And he pulverized, he destroyed the copper serpent made by Moshe. Why? Ki ad hayamim ha'hema, until that time, hayu v'nei Yisrael mekatrim lo. They were offering incense to it. They were apparently worshipping it as Avodah Zarah. V'yikra lo nechushtan, so Chizkiah felt compelled to destroy. The Mishnah in Psachim, Brisa, according to some Girsos, says that Chizkiah did six noteworthy things. Shishadvaram asa Chizkiah ha'melech, three the Chachamim endorsed, Hodulo, three they did not endorse. One of the three that they did endorse was Kitas Nechash Nechoshes. He destroyed the copper serpent, the Hodulo. The Chachamim endorsed what he had done. Why did he destroy it? Rashi says, Lefisha Hayu Toam Achrav. The Jews were being led astray, they were sinning, apparently by worshipping the copper serpent. There is a curious midrash, Agadas Bereshis, that brings a somewhat different account of what happened. Midrash says that the snake was preserved by Klal Yisrael for 500 years until Chizkiah's time, and it continued to be effective. The snake was originally made so people who were bit by the serpents in the Midbar would gaze at the snake and live, and that continued to work. Whenever a person was bitten by a snake, he would be mistakelbo, he would gaze at the copper serpent, and he would be healed. Until Chizkiah had a problem with that. Chizkiah saw that people were zonim acharav, and he said, Achshav, kol mishu tzarech les rapus. Anyone who needs a refua, yeholech etzel zem, aniyach ez HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He won't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll just utilize the copper snake. Therefore, Chizkiah got rid of it. People complained, they said, Ma ta'osa, what are you doing? What nerve? How dare you? Ma shehiskin Moshe at soser, what Moshe fashioned, you are destroying. Chizkiah said, don't worry, kol mishu tzarech les rapus. Anyone who needs a refua, yistakel v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't need copper snakes, you can just gaze at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yisrape, and you will be healed. The Midrash seems to be saying the problem wasn't necessarily Avodah Zarah, the problem was instead of having bitachon, instead of turning to Hashem, be'ez tzara, when they had an ailment, they would just utilize the copper snake. This is reminiscent of the way some Rishonim understand another one of Chizkiah's three good things that were endorsed by the Chachamim. It says also, Ganaz ha'sefer ha'refuos. He hid the book of refuos. What is the Sefer Refuos and why did he hide it? Some Rishonim learn it was a It was an ordinary medical book, a very good medical book apparently. It had authentic, legitimate medical knowledge. So why did Chizkiah hide it? Because people, instead of turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they were sick, they simply cured themselves by reading the Sefer Refuos. Chizkiah thought that was not appropriate, so Chizkiah hid the Sefer Refuos. Ramban is vehement in his denunciation of this pshat. He says it's stupid and ridiculous, and chas v'shalom to say Chizkiah would have done such a ridiculous thing, he says. He says using the Sefer Refuos to heal yourself when sick is no different from using bread to heal yourself from the choli of hunger, he says. Hashem gave us resources, he gave us opportunities, and it's perfectly legitimate to use them. Of course, we recognize Hashem gave us the bread to satiate our hunger, and Hashem gave us the refuah to cure our illness. There's nothing wrong with the Sefer Refuos, with that kind of Sefer Refuos, and therefore the Rambam explains the Sefer Refuos to meaning books of forbidden knowledge, dangerous knowledge, poisons, or occult remedies. But other Rishonim learn that it was a legitimate medical work, and Chizkiah still hid it because people weren't having sufficient bitachon in Hashem, and that seems to be how the Agudas Bereishis understands Chizkiah, that people were turning to Hashem, not turning away from Hashem, and instead turning to this snake. It's hard to square that with the Psukim, which clearly indicate the problem was Avodah Zarah. It listed along with Bamos and Matzevos and Asherah, and says they offered incense to it. Maybe that's really what the Midrash means, they were turning away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and worshipping the snake. In any event, the Pashut Pshat is that the snake was an Avodah Zarah, it had become an Avodah Zarah, and that's why Chizkiah destroyed it. Nevertheless, it was a remarkably bold step to destroy an ancient artifact, 500 years old, fashioned by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, on a tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, to have the boldness to destroy that. And the Gemara in Chulin makes this point. The Gemara in Chulin says, it begins with an episode that Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaraz, ben Chamav shel Rabbi Meir, testified once to Rebbe about Rabbi Meir that he ate Ola shel Yarek, he ate a vegetable from Beit Sha'an, from the city of Beit Sha'an, and he didn't take Meiser, Rashi explains. So based on that, Rabbi Meir apparently held Beit Sha'an was potter for Meiser. Based on that, hit to Rebbe at Beit Sha'an Kula. Rebbe said, okay, we have a Maaser Rav, that Beit Sha'an, vegetables from Beit Sha'an, are not Chayiv and Meiser. Rashi explains what the issue was, that it was, that apparently it was considered Chutz La'aretz, and Meiser Dug, Meiser Yarak, even Eretz Yisrael is Drabanan, so in Chutz La'aretz, they weren't Gozer. The point is, based on the Aedus of Rabbi Shua ben Zaraz in the name of Rabbi Meir, that Rebbe concluded that vegetables of Beit Sha'an were not Chayiv and Meiser, could be eaten without Meiser. So the Gemara says that Rebbe's colleagues were very unhappy. Rebbe's family was very unhappy. It says, Achiv ubeis aviv. They said, how could you? How dare you? Makum shavosecha vavosavosecha. Our ancestral tradition, our parents, our grandparents, all treated Beit Sha'an, its vegetables as being usser. Ata timig boheter. Who do you think you are? That you know better than all our revered ancestors. Rebbe said, I can see that our ancestors were great men. Nevertheless, I have the right to adopt my own position, and he brought this pasuk. V'chitas nechash nechoshes, that Chizkiah destroyed the copper snake. Who did Chizkiah think he was? Efshir ba'asav lobiro, bayo shafat lobiro. These were the great tzaddikim, his predecessors among the righteous Malchai Yehuda. They also destroyed Avodah Zarah. They didn't destroy the snake. You could say that the problem of the Avodah Zarah happened later, but apparently the Gemara is assuming that this Mekatrim lo was a long-standing problem, and they didn't destroy the snake. They destroyed all of Avodah Zarah. So what do you think you're doing? Do you know better than them? Ella, the Gemara says, a famous principle, Makum hinichula avosav leisgadrbo. His ancestors left him room for improvement, to make his mark, to do something new. Rashi says that if they couldn't do anything new, if the later generations have nothing new to do, but mei gadol shmam, how would they increase their reputation? Difficult Rashi to understand. It's about reputation. Isn't it about doing the right thing? But regardless, the Gemara says this principle that Chizkiah could say, even though my revered ancestors didn't do this, they left me room for me to do something. This was left to me to do. So here too, Rebbe said, Afani, my ancestors were great people. Nevertheless, Mokum inichli avose leisgadrbo, that, leisgadl, Rashi says it means that my ancestors left me room to do something new, even though it's different from what they were doing. There is a similar Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara talks about The Gemara talks about Yoshiyahu. It says that he also got rid of Avodah Zarah. So it says that Yoshiyahu, just like Asen Yoshafa, just like Hizkiah, so Yoshiyahu, it says, that's a bamos asher al pnei Yerushalayim asher mimin lahar amashchis, the certain bamos, asher bana Shlomo Melech Yisrael, that Shlomo, way back in the time of Shlomo, he had built these bamos for Avodah Zarah, lashtores, shikut sidonim, and the pasuk goes on, to chmosh, shikut moav, to different Avodah Zarahs, ulamilkom, to avas bnei Amon, all these various Avodah Zarahs, timei hamelech, Yoshiyahu was metamei them. So the Gemara is trying to prove Shlomo didn't actually build bamos for Avodah Zarah. So it says, how can we read this pasuk at face value? Do you really think that Yoshiyahu destroyed bamos that Shlomo built for Avodah Zarah? How can that be? Asa didn't destroy them. Yoshafat didn't destroy them. Ad sheba Yoshiyahu biram, Yoshiyahu destroyed them. All the Avodah Zarahs were destroyed by Asa and Yoshafat. So the Gemara says, therefore, makish rishonim la'achronim. Just like Yoshiyahu didn't really do it, it didn't never happen, we just give him credit for it because he destroyed other Avodah Zarah, he did other things that were good. After we showed him Lawasu, Shlomo didn't do it either, but Tolav and Lignai, it wasn't really Shlomo who did it. It was, he didn't protest his wife's doing it. I'll call upon him, the Gemara says, it's inconceivable that Yoshiyahu would have taken this action of destroying Avodah Zarah if his revered ancestors, Asen Yoshafa, didn't do it. So Tosfos, and later Mefarshim point out that these Gemaras draw two different conclusions. Both Gemaras ask that how can Yoshiyahu or Chizkiah do Avodah Zarah eradication that wasn't done by earlier generations? The Gemara in Chulin says about Chizkiah, Mokum Hinichulo Avosev L'Isgadir. The Gemara in Shabbos doesn't think of that teretz. The Gemara in Shabbos is not willing to say that teretz. What's the difference? So Tosfos in Chulin and in Shabbos says the difference is that the only time you can say Makom Nichulo L'Isgadir is you can't learn Kipshuto that this was a deliberate decision by the ancestors to leave over some Avodah Zarah so Chizkiyah and Yoshiyahu could have their chance. Chas v'shalom, how can you leave Avodah Zarah because you want to give your children a chance to do their thing? If it's Avodah Zarah, you have to get rid of it. You can't leave it for your descendants. So Tosfos says the only time, the only pshat in Makom Nichulo L'Isgadir is where we can find a plausible justification for why the early ones didn't do it. They had a svara, they had a shita, why they couldn't do it. So when it came to the Nechash and Nechoshes, we understand Asen Yoshafa didn't want to destroy it because they thought, even if it's Avodah Zarah, but they thought that, how can we destroy it? They thought Asir Lavaro, because it was made al Pia Dibur. How can we lay a hand on something made based on Hashem's Tzivoy? So that's why it's possible to say, Makom Hinichulo, that's how Hashem ran the world, that they made a mistake, and it was left for me to realize the truth, that even though it was made al pi adibur, we have to destroy it. But Shlomo's Bamos, if Shlomo really made Bamos for Avodah Zarah, how can it possibly be that they wouldn't have destroyed it? There is no room for Makom Hinichulo, and therefore we can't, therefore it's not possible. We have to have a different teretz, as the Gemara in Shabbos says. The Maral in his Beer of the Agados, the Maral says a little differently. He says that he also explains that we have to say that they had a svara for not destroying it. The way he says it, he says that mitzad, the Isser of Nevad, that was made for Avodah Zarah, he says, was worshipped as Avodah Zarah. He says he can't aser Dabar Sheina Shalom. If someone bows down to someone's house, he can't aser the house. So he says, Moshe made the Nechash and Nechoshes for legitimate reasons, al pitzivei Hashem. Some Jews made the mistake of worshipping it. It's not theirs. I don't know whose it was exactly in later generations. They had no right to aser it. So that's why they held that it doesn't have a din of Avodah Zarah. We don't have to aser it. Nevertheless, they were wrong because, lahasir michshol, l'maisa, even if it's not a din of Avodah Zarah, it was a michshol, people were worshipping it, and therefore it had to be destroyed. So that's the makom hinichulo avosa of l'isgadir. Achronim give other explanations. I'll call upon him. This is the famous principle that sometimes a later Talmud Chacham can say, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, this is my position, even though earlier generations did not hold this position, Makom Hinichuli Avosai L'Isgadir, that my ancestors, earlier Doros, didn't do this, but I think this is right, and I'm going to do this, even though earlier Doros didn't do this, even though Gedolim and Kedoshim and Tzadikim didn't do this, I'm going to do it. This was the subject of a very interesting debate between Rav Shlomo Yehuda Tabak, the author of the Erech Shai and the Chura Shai in the 19th century, and the Satmar Rav, the Divrei Yoel in the 20th century. The question was, when you build an Ezras Nashim, a woman's section in a shul, do you have to build it in such a way that the women can't really see the men? The men certainly shouldn't see the women. That's what they held, at least. And the question is, should you build it in such a way that the women can't see the men? So Rav Tabak and his Churashai, he says you really should build the Ezras Nashim in such a way that the women can't see the men. Shaliyazunu ha-nashim e'neem e'ha-nashim. I don't know if he means they shouldn't see their faces, they shouldn't see them at all. He talks about what direction you put it in, on the side or in the back, but the women shouldn't be able to gaze at the men. The Rav Tabak concedes he concedes it's not the minhag. Earlier Doroth weren't machpin on this. He brings Rayas that there is an Isaristaklus for women, klape men. And therefore he says, even though I concede earlier Doroth were not strict about this, nevertheless, the Gemara in Chulin says, V'chitas nechasha nechoshes, makum hinichuli avose leisgaderbo, I feel this also is appropriate. We should be more meticulous, stricter about Istaklus by women of men. That's also something we should be strict about, despite the fact that earlier Doros were not machpin. The Satmarov in Divrei Yoel rejects this strongly. Ironically, this is his famous Tshuva on Mechitza, where he's actually coming to be stricter about Mechitza than Ramosha, but in this point, he says that this point, that women shouldn't look at men, he argues at length against the position of Rav Tabak, and he says, Ein la'achmer b'zeh, because the minhag was, they were not machpin on this, women were allowed to see the men, b'makom gedolim u'kadoshim, that the shuls in the presence of Gedolim and Tzaddikim, Kedoshim, used to build shuls where women could see the men. Beis HaMikdash was like that, and the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and so on. He refutes, he rebuts the various arguments of the Churashai. He says, what about this point, that there's a principle of Mokum Enichu Liavose Leisgader? Ein Zeh Dimyon Klal. No such thing. He says, the only time we say Mokum Enichu Liavose Leisgader is when you're challenging someone who you are a legitimate Bar Plukta. Rabbi Meir, he says, that they were all Tanaim. They could disagree. Later Tanaim could disagree with earlier Tanaim. They're all Tanaim. They all have the right to disagree. Same thing with Asen Yoshafat and Chizkiah. They were his ancestors, but they were all great tzaddikim. Malchei Yehuda, they all had the right to disagree with each other. However, he says, and the question is, but how could they have done this? Even though you're allowed to disagree, but how is it possible? That the answer is, Makom Enichu Liavose Leisgader. If I'm right, what were they thinking? That's how it works sometimes, Makom Enichu Liisgader. However, he says, when you're challenging earlier authorities, who you have no right to disagree with, when the Gemara all over asks on Amarayim from Tanaim, the answer is never, well, he was wrong, Makom Enichu Liavose Leisgader. When you're challenging someone who you're not a Bar Plukta of, I've heard him discuss, why can't Amarayim disagree with Tanaim? But whatever the reason is, that they can't, the answer is never, Makom Enichu Liavose Leisgader. So the Satmarov says, here also he says, when it comes to the women's section, he says, yeah, if even Amorayim couldn't say Makom Enichu Liavose Leisgader to Tanaim, he says, certainly us, Yasmi, Diasmi, how can we be cholek on Geonim, Kedoshim, Shebedoro Shelfanenu, Halavai Sheniske, to understand what they say, to challenge the minhag of Gedolim and Kedoshim, Chas V'Shalom, he says, according to you, Makom Enichu Liavose Leisgader, that works Lakula as well. Rebbe was Matir Yarek against his ancestors. Are you going to tell me we can be Matir things that... The Rav Tabak was coming to Aser, women gazing at men. Are you going to tell me we can be Matir things that our ancestors were Machmer on, that Gedolim of Doros earlier were Machmer? Chas V'Shalom, he says, Chalila Lahalas Aladas. So there's no Makom Enichu Liisgader when you're dealing with authorities who you have no right to challenge, even Lachomra. Rav Tabak may have held, he may have agreed to the general principle, but he may have held that we do have the right to disagree with earlier Achronim. There is no rule that we can't disagree with Achronim from a century earlier. We have the right to. If we think we're right, and we have riots from Midrashim and so on, many Achronim did. Many Achronim were famous for the Marshal, Ramosha Feinstein in our generation. We're willing to challenge Minhagim of Doros earlier. I'll call upon him. Everyone agrees there is a principle in the Gemara, Makom Enichu Liavose Leisgader, that you can't always ask a kasha, that if you're right, if you're so smart, why didn't earlier Doros do this? That's not necessarily a tiyufta. Sometimes that's how it works. That's how Hashem runs the world, Achronim say, that Hashem causes earlier Doros to have a different opinion, to not get things exactly right, in order that later generations have the opportunity to make their mark and to mechadesh something, so you can't automatically rule out the possibility of religious innovation, bein lekula bein lechumra, because there is this principle of makom enichu liavosei leisgader. Now there is also a major opposing principle, the principle that we are not motzi laz al rishonim. Like you can't do things that will cause scandal, or that will cause the disparagement of earlier generations. The source for this in a halachic context, the main source is a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara is talking about the obligation of a shliach who brings a get to say b'fanei nachtav. He has to witness the ksiva and chasima and say b'fanei nachtav or b'fanei nachtam. So the Gemara says that that Bar Hedya was going to be a shliach. He asked Rav Acha, who was in charge of Gittin, he asked him that he asked him how much of it do I have to see, and he told him you have to witness the entire get, every letter. He came to Ravami and Ravasi, and they said lo tzrichas. You only need the first line, b'shita achas. You only have to watch the first line of the get. V'chitema avid l'chumra. Maybe you'll want to say, doesn't cost extra, I'll be machmer. They told him, no, you cannot be machmer. It's usher to be machmer. Why? Because if you're machmer, nimta to motzi laz al gitin harishonim, you are going to disparage earlier gitin, where the shluchim apparently didn't do that. So you cannot deviate from the minhag of the rishonim, even l'chumra, because you're being motzi laz al gitin harishonim. This is brought, the rishonim apply this in certain other contexts, the sefer atruma. There's machlokas rishonim whether we write the get in ksav ashuris, in almost ksav ashuris, but certain things we don't do like in a sefer Torah. There was machlokas rishonim whether the letter should have tagin, should have the zainin on top of the letters like in a sefer Torah. That we don't do. There's machlokas rishonim, but the sefer truma we paskin that we don't write tagin in a get. Why not? So he brings two reasons. One of the reasons is it's that the sofer are not so the sofer write gittin don't know how to do it properly. So you're going to make things worse. But the other reason he says, the reason brought by many of the later poskim is that since the minhag was not to write tagin, if you start writing tagin, you'll be motzi laz al mishein asuyin kein. On the earlier gittin that didn't have tagin, if you start writing tagin, you're going to be implying that the earlier gittin are problematic, and you're not allowed to do that. Beishmuel brings this, that it's a problem of being motzi laz al gittin harishonim. Beishmuel adds, however, that's only something which is a chumra ba'alma. We don't really need the tagin anyway. You might want to do them. You have to worry about laws. But something that you need me'ikra din, then you can't say that I'm gonna cut corners on the ikra din because of otzalas laws. This goes back to a Truma Sadesh, and the Get Pashut expands on this at some length. The Get Pashut explains that the basic rule is that of course we have many chumras. Of course there are chumras that we do things that are chumras above Nagu achronim, kama chumras begitzin shlonog ben rishonim. There's lots of things we do that rishonim didn't do. So when do we apply this klal of I can't innovate anything because of otzalas laz? When do we say that we are allowed to add chumras? So he gives various rules. He says that when something is a real shayla, then if we don't do it, it's a laz on us. If we do it, it's a laz on the rishonim. Then he says if it's a choice between us and them, we have to do what's right. Why should there be laz against us for not doing something that you might need? Better that we should do what we have to do, even if it results in laws on the Rishonim. However, he says something like the tagin or b'farai nachtav, if we don't do it, he says there'll be only a minor laws, because everyone understands apparently these things are not ma'akev. But if we do it, it'll be a major laws on the Rishonim, because people will think that not doing it is ma'akev. Then we sacrifice minor laws against us to avoid greater laws on the Rishonim. Similarly, he says something that if we don't do, there'll be no laws at all. And if we do it, we'll cause some laws against the Rishonim. We didn't do it again, since there's no cost to us, and there's some laws to the Rishonim, then we don't do it. So the bottom line is, the klal he says is we have to weigh the laws. If not doing it is as much a laws for us as doing it would be a laws for the Rishonim, then we have to do it, and we're not choshish for the laws of kamay. Other posts can phrase it as Beishmuel did, that if it's something that you need in ikra din, you can't forego it because of laws. But something that doesn't really matter if we don't do it, at worst, it'll be a last katan for us, and if we don't do it, it'll be a last katan against us. If we do it, it'll be a last gadol against the Rishonim. In some cases, where the disparagement to the Rishonim is greater than the price we're gonna pay for not doing it, that's where we say that we don't do it to avoid laz al Rishonim. Al Kalpanim, we have this principle of the Gemara brought by all the Achronim, all the Poskim, that at least in some contexts, we have no right to introduce new chumras, even if we'd like to, ideally, because that would result in hotzas laz al harishon. Poskim apply this principle of shlola hotzi laz in various other contexts outside of gittin, and as we'll see, they also struggle to reconcile this with the rule that makom nichli avos elias gader. When Chizkiah destroyed the Nechash and Nechoshes, he wasn't worried about laz and asan yoshafat and these other examples. So when do we say that makom nichli avos elias gader? When do we say don't innovate because you're casting aspersions on the Rishon? It's one of the earliest sources in Rishonim already of extending the idea of Hotzoas Laz outside the context of Gittin is in a tshuva of the Trumas Hadeshin. He says, the minhag, there was a widespread minhag to make a lechi, the vertical poles of an Eruv, to make it out of Sid Machui. Out of just plaster, they would paint it onto a wall with Sid Machui, and it didn't have any substantial thickness, but Ovi Velo Klum. Some Rishonim said it has to be an etzba. So the Trumas Hadeshin says, this is the minhag, Nispashi B'chalam Makomos, is to use Sid Machui. It's controversial, but the minhag is, he says, it was to use this type of lechi, even though it doesn't have Ovi etzba. And he records that he heard about one of the Gedolim, he says, that this Gadol once came to a certain city, and he saw the lechis didn't have an etzba, and they were made out of, and he wanted to improve the lechis to be yotze l'chaladeyev, to make them an etzba, based on the Mordechai. V'lo ratzu l'manhigim, the local authorities refused to let him, and they said, if you try to make better lechis, improve the lechis, you are casting aspersions on our Erev, you're going to say that all those in this city who use this Erev were Mechal Shabbos, Botzah v'Achnasa, therefore you are not allowed to improve it, because that is considered being Motzi Laz al Harishon. In the context of mikvos, there are a number of the Gedolei Achronim who also invoke the notion of Hotzoas Laz, a mikveh noshim. People, there were certain cases where poskim were dissatisfied with the way the existing mikvos were constructed. They were contemplating improving them. And in certain cases, poskim said, no, you should not improve them because that's a Hotzoas Laz al Harishon. About 400 years ago in Poland, there was a widespread minhag to use certain type of wooden boards, wooden stairs, wooden boards on the floor of the mikveh. Women would stand on those boards. This is a serious problem. Midrabanan, gzeres merchatzos. You're not supposed to have wooden boards in the mikveh in certain contexts. So the Gedolei Achronim of Poland, the Lavush, the Maram Lublin, struggled. They discussed this minhag. The Lavush, in particular, has an arichus gedola, trying to b'miyashev justify the minhag, he says. This was the minhag in Miktas Kehilos. They make boards, he says, and ladders. In particular, he says, in Lublin, the problem was even more serious, he says. It's mamish gzeres merchatzos. He says, even b'dieved midrabanan, it shouldn't work, he says. Midrabanan, they were machmer, even b'dieved, the tefillah doesn't work. He says, I've thought about this a great deal. Many times I was agitated about this, he says, da'agti. He says, lo milani libi lifsalosim, he says. To say the mikvah is possible, he says, even though I think that's what it should be, he says, I couldn't do that. Ir ve'em b'Yisrael, such a great city as Lublin, for many years they had the mikvahs like this, he says. There were gedolei Torah, there were tremendous gedolei Torah here, he says. Kisos l'mishpat, kisos l'gaonei olam. He remembers, he says, Rav Shachna, the great Gaon Rav Shachna, the great Gaon Marshal, Rabbi Nasa, and other Rabbanim Gedolim, he says. They all saw these mikvahs. Nobody objected, he says. How can I, the Lavush, say they're all wrong, the mikvah's possible? Don't tell me, he says, hinichuli makum lisgadr bo. Chalila, he says. You can't say makum nichuli lisgadr when there's no excuse, when there's no heter, he says. Chas v'shalom, he says. That's the Hotzoas Laz. To say that they were all bole nidus, he says, I have to worry about Hotzoas Laz. I'm gonna say that the mikvah was possible until I, the Lavush, fix it, he says. Chas v'shalom, that's a tremendous Hotzoas Laz. So he doesn't really explain how to resolve the conflict between Osir Lahotzi Laz and Makman Ikuli Lizgadr, but he says in a case like this, where I'm implying that everyone else was Bole Nida, because Midrabanan, because the Mikvos, were all possible, he says, Chas v'shalom. He can't say that, he says, Chalila, Chalila, Lahala Salev Adam Dover Kazeh. So he's Mayrach, he tries to Miyashev the Minog, and he says, so he's Miyashev the Minog. Then he says, Bazani Omer, that there is some room for the application of the principle of Hinichuli Rabose Makum Liskader. To pass the mikvah totally, you can't do that. That would be Hotzoas Laz. But to recommend certain improvements for Mitzvah Menamuvchar, he says, that would not involve Hotzoas Laz. To add certain stones to the mikvah, that would improve it. And Mitzvah the Halacha, he says, he doesn't exactly explain why adding those stones is not Hotzoas Laz, but he says, to outright pass the mikvah and say it has to be rebuilt entirely would be Hotzoas Laz, and we cannot say Makom Nichuli Lizgadr, but to make certain improvements on the existing design, that would be considered Makom Nichuli Lizgadr, and that would not Chas V'Shalom involve Hotzoas Laz. He doesn't fully explain the distinction. The Maram Lublin, also from the same period, someone asked him also about these mikvos that had different types of wooden boards. So he says it's actually a real shaila. He comes out that it's actually a machlokas rishonim. So he says, ideally a mikvah should not be constructed this way. He says, from when I came here to this city, he says, I really wanted to fix all the mikvos in such a way that they would be valid l'kuli alma. He says, I really wanted to. However, I didn't, he says. Why? Shlo lahotzi laz al rishonim chas v'shalom. If I would have ordered the mikvos to be rebuilt, that would be chas v'shalom hotzas laz al rishonim. He brings a trumas hadeshen about Erevin, that to change an Erev would be hotzas laz, because you're implying that they were guilty of hotzah on Shabbos, kolshkein b'inyan kazev, bo'ale nida, and so on. Afal b'kein, he says, this much he will say, that if they're doing, if they're refurbishing the mikvah anyway, if they're doing maintenance, and they're anyway doing construction on the mikvah, or they're building new mikvos, then I would say that we should build it in such a way that does not involve these halachic problems. He says we should make it kosher l'kuli alma. That's not called being motzi laz al rishon. Why not? Rav Shlomo Kluger explains. He has a tshuva discussing hundreds of years later, but he has a tshuva discussing a similar shaila. He brings the Maram Lublin, which is brought by the Shach, that redoing the mikveh entirely is deliberately for this reason is hotzas laz, but making corrections when you're anyway doing maintenance or building a new mikveh, deciding to do it the right way, it doesn't involve hotzas laz. And he explains kipshuto, he says, that anything where there's no reason for what you're doing, anyone who sees what you're doing realizes right away it's because there's a halachic issue, that's hotzas laz. Someone, a shliach who stays watching the sofer write the whole get, why are you doing that? There's no reason for that. Truche b'chti, why are you being terech? It must be, you hold it's halachically required. Oh, the gittin arishonim, I have laws about them. I don't really understand that so well. When you're watching a get, it's going to take the sofer 45 minutes. By the time you go home and come back, what are you going to do already? Very often you stay there and you watch the whole get. You might be doing other things at the same time, but I'm not sure why he thinks it's so obvious that it's tircha b'chti, but that's what he says. If the shliach stays and watches the whole get, that is considered tircha b'chti, and it's obvious that he thinks it's a halachic issue, and that's what Tzoas lies. But when you build a mikveh, he says, if you would deliberately start construction, and the official reason would be because the mikveh needs halachic improvements, that's what Tzoas lies. But if you're anyway doing construction, and you just replace the boards, builders have different types of boards. Sometimes they use one type of board, sometimes they use another type of board, sometimes depends on their sources, what's available, and so on. Nobody realizes why you're doing it. Nobody realizes that if they changed the boards for this reason, they were doing construction, they wound up replacing the boards. So nobody's really going to know. So that's the rule of the Maram Lublin. He says, if it's clear that what you're doing is motivated by halachic objections to the early practice, that's what Tzoas lies, and that you're not allowed to do. But if people won't realize, they can just say it's part of the normal construction, then there's no issue of Tzoas lies, and then kol hakavod, why not improve it if you can? That's what the Maram Lublin means. He also adds, he says, lule pek kadosh of the Maram Lublin, we could have suggested, he says, that there's no issue of Hotzoas Laz here, because Hotzoas Laz, he says, in the case of the Gemara, is dealing with a Daraisa. The get might not be written Lishma. Since at least Be'ikar Hadvarim, that's a Shaila of a Daraisa, he says, then people are going to say, if you don't watch the whole get, it might not be all Lishma, and that's a Shaila of a Daraisa. So Lamaisa, that is a Laz Mamish, because at least the underlying din is a Shaila of a Daraisa. But here he says, in the Mikvos, the whole issue is Gzeres Merchatzos. It's a gzera of Chazal. That's not something which is an issue of a deraisa at all, he says. And therefore, maybe if even according to the laws, nobody is being suspected of doing anything that would violate a deraisa, that would not be an issue at all. So at the Maram Lublin and the Lavush were worried about laws. Maybe the issue of Hotzoas laws doesn't apply. He heard the Get Pashut says that, he says, v'nei nesi. However, he writes, in another tshuva, he changed his mind, apparently. He concluded that even on a psul drabanan, there is an issue of laws. In the Sefer Beis Hillel, he also discusses the question of Hotzoas Laz as applied to mikvot. He's discussing a different case, a minug to construct a mikvah by water, rainwater that falls on a roof, and to make a mikvah out of that, he says, that's a big machlokas. There's a marik who says that was the common minug, pashen a minug lasos kain. Adrabi, he says, Beis Hillel says, where I sit, he says, the minug is not to do that. Nobody makes mikvot, almost no one makes mikvot out of water on a roof, he says. Larisi b'shumakum. Nobody builds a mikvah like that. B'chol Medinas Poland and Litta. Even in Germany, he says, I never heard of anyone doing that. Except in Hamburg, he says. In Hamburg, they build mikvahs by this rainwater on the roof. When I was in Hamburg, he says, when I was the Av Beis Din and the Reshiva in Hamburg, he says, I investigated, I asked them, this is a dubious practice, I said. He said, where does this come from? They said there were certain lomdim who came from Vilna in the year Tuf Tes Vav. So that's 1655 or so, they came to Hamburg, and they built a mikveh like this. So I really felt it wasn't an appropriate way to build a mikveh, he says, but I didn't protest. Why? Because this had been the method, the mikvahs had been designed like this for many years. And I said that if I'm a vatel their minhag, it would be motzi laz not just that they were over the Avera of Baalei Nida, as the Levush and the Maram said, but the children are being born from Bf's Nida. That's a really serious laz, so I didn't want to do that, he says, so I didn't object. Also, the Marik says that it was kosher, even though the Ikra Dini fails, you shouldn't be samech on that. Therefore, they had Yesh Almi Lismok, and there would be a tremendous Hotzalas laz. So I let them do what they do, Kedayu, the Marik, to be Selmich on him. However, he says, Chalila, to do this L'chatchila, even if it's Dachuk, he says, Chas B'Shalom, to be Selmich on this L'chatchila, but when it's a question of Hatzah Laz, I let them go, I didn't object. Various poskim discuss the question of being Motzi Laz when it comes to things like Machalas Asuras, bugs in particular. Before bugs, there's a tshuva in the Ranach, Rabbi Eliyahu Ibn Chaim, centuries ago. He was asked about chalev. There were different minhagim, different shitas in the poskim about which parts of the animal are chalev. So he talks about there was a certain city that had a minhag to be mekel, and the rabbanim were mekel, but now the rabbanim decided we want to be more machmir. We want to be choshish for the machmirim. We want to change the minhag in our city to adopt a new stringency regarding a certain type of chalev, potential chalev. Is that an issue of being motzi laz al harishon? So we bring some of the early sources of Gittin and so on about there's an Isser of adopting new Chumras because of Hotzah Laz. And he says, doesn't apply. The Isser of Hotzah Laz is really only, he says, Bidvar Ishus, the Gemara, Gittin the Kedushin, because if the Get is possible, it's not just they did an Avera. They were Ashes Ish. The Isser is for all the Doros. The Doros were all Mamzerim. And the Pregumim, Mamzerim, Safik Mamzerim, Safik Psolacher, that's a real lies. That's an ongoing lie. That's a lie that extends to people today. That's the kind of lies that the Gemara is worried about, that the early postkim are worried about. Bishari Surim, Machalos Asuros, like Chalef, he says, even if you're going to say they used to eat this kind of thing and they were eating Chalef, since there's no lasting effect on later Doros, you don't have to worry about being Motzi Laz. The examples of mikvot we discussed might be consistent with that, as we saw in the Beis Hillel, that you'd be motzi laz on the banim. The Beis Hillel was worried about being motzi laz. Al banim ubanash and al duat heina. Fine. So mikvot, you can, even though the other Akharim said the problem is Baalei Nidos, we can understand that the laz is for the banim as well. But we mentioned the Trumas Hadeshin, who said that an Erev is a shayla of being motzi laz. Improving an Erev is a problem of being motzi laz. So he certainly doesn't seem to hold like this Ranach. And the truth is, the later Akharim are Mayrach on this. Is it true that being motzi laz, like the Ranach, is limited to questions where there's pagam on the vlados? Does it apply to other isurim? Stechemet brings that many acharim objected to the Ranach. They said that many posts, it's clear from many of the early poskim that they did not limit being motzi laz to inyanim of erva and ishus. Sefer Pesach Hadvir says, haroeh b'sifron shel tzadikim. If you just look at the Svarim, you'll see that Motzi Laz is frequently applied to Yisurim that don't involve Pagam Ladaris, that they don't hold like the Ranach. However, the Sechemen goes on and says there are other Acharim who do support the Ranach, who feel the Ranach is very plausible, that anytime, like we saw in the Trumas Hadeshin, they get Pashut, the other Trumas Hadeshin, anytime we add Chumras, we don't stop worrying about being Motzi Laz. So there is a school of thought that does try to limit this to Erva, as per the cases in the Gemara. Sechemen brings from the Sefer Knesil L'Shem Shemayim that he brings from various Acharonim who did want to limit this to Erva. And he writes that Shleimim Lechein Rabim, many, many distinguished Gedolim, said, Nakti Bechlala de Maran HaRanach, they did hold like the Ranach, that this is limited to Erva and does not apply to things like Machalas Asuras. The truth is, however, there are, as we mentioned, there are Akharim who disagree with the Ranach, in particular in the context of bugs. Various poskim did discuss the question of being Motzi Laz. Bugs is a particular issue where later generations were often stricter about eating bugs. We find from the time of the Prichadash, several hundred years ago, the Akronim were Tavek Kekruchia, people were in Nisar, everyone was eating food, there were Vitumim, and many, the Aruch HaShulchan, many Akronim for centuries acknowledged that the widespread minhag was to be lenient, and they tried, on the one hand, to find Limudei Schus, Bedochek, but they also encouraged stringency. In our generation as well, we have poskim who have been encouraged everyone to be much more strict than previous Doros were, but we have pretty reliable edus that earlier Doros were not as strict as we are today about bugs. So various poskim discuss whether there's an issue of being motzi laz if we try to be koveya the halacha, that we have to adopt certain stringencies with regard to bugs and food and water. Is there an issue of being motzi laz? This first came up, the first case I'm aware of, a couple of centuries ago. There's a tshuva of Rabbi Avram Laniado. It's in the Sefer Beis Dino Shel Shlomo. He was the brother of the author. At that time, in Turkey, in Svardik lands, there was a tremendous controversy about grape leaves. It's a popular food for Svardim. And apparently the grape leaves were, the Alei HaGvanim were badly infested with bugs, and there was a tremendous machlokus among the Chachmei HaSfardim, whether we have to ban them or require somehow a much stricter regime of decontamination, or whether there were limudei schus to eat the grape leaves as they were being eaten. There were a number of tshuvas written on the topic. So in this tshuva from Rav Laniado, he says he was rebutting the tshuva of one of the Mekilim. The Mekil had said that Nagubo Heter Mimei Olam, the minhag was always to be lenient about this, Shunim Kadmonios, we can't be Mavatal the minhag, he says. The minhag in Kol Yisrael, Sephardic Israel at least, B'chol Mekamosh Moshvaseim, eats the Alei HaGvanim Mimei Olam, forever, as far as we know, B'shunim Kadmonios, B'fnei Geonei Olam, and they ate the grape leaves in the presence of Geonei Olam, Asher Kotnam Avam Mimasneinu, Ein Potzepel Mitzafsef, we have to justify the minhag. So, Rav Laniado is not impressed. He says, the halacha is the halacha. We have to follow the halacha. There are bugs there. We have to be machmer, he says. He says, you're going to tell me that in front of the Gedolei Olam, I concede that that was true, that the Gedolei Olam, they weren't machmer, he said. So he doesn't just say that they weren't infested. He doesn't say this is a recent problem. He seems to concede that they were always infested. But he says that, they didn't see, they didn't realize they were leaves. They didn't realize that there were bugs. He says, lo ro avosein of avosein me'olam lo nishma. They didn't know about them. There was no renun. There was no talk of these bugs. Until, heir Hashem eseinenu, Hashem opened their eyes, enlightened their eyes. Megalgal tzchus la'idei zakai. So he says, what are you going to tell me that it's a minhag, he says. They didn't know. Had they seen the worms, he says, then they wouldn't have allowed it, he says. Al davar zanemar. So he says you cannot bring a raya from the earlier generations. Why? He seems to concede that if we knew that they were mekil, we would have to justify the minhag. He doesn't bring her to us laws, but he seems to concede that we would have to defer to the minhag and try to justify the minhag. But we can say that they didn't know. Since they didn't know, that doesn't qualify as a minhag. And this falls into the category, the other category, the category of Chizkiyah and Rebbe and Rebbe Meir, that makom hinichli avasein lis gadrbo. This is something that was left for us, that they didn't realize it, they didn't fully appreciate, they didn't appreciate the problem, we understand it's a problem, so we have to be machmer. So on the one hand, he seems to agree in principle that if there was a clear minhag, we would have to grapple with it. On the other hand, he says, there's no minhag because they didn't know, and therefore we apply the klal of makom hinichli lanu avoseinu l'eskadrbo. In our generation, we have tshuvos of two of the gedolei poskim of the last century, who both also, at least tentatively, invoke the notion of being motzi laz against the imposition of certain stringencies in bugs. Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Mincha Shlomo, he was discussing certain chumras about checking and cleaning in certain ways, so his tshuva is very tentative, he goes back and forth, but one of his arguments for leniency against, he says, the imposition of strict stringency, he says, is lo mistaver sherishonim kemalachim chas v'shalom nechshalu b'zeh. He says, it's difficult to say that everyone else was nechshal. He said, people say these are new problems, that they used to be cleaner, the vegetables, he says. He does not buy that. Lo borer kol ma sha'omrim. It's hard, he says, it's not really clear to me that this is true, he says. People say, zen eschadish rak bizmanenu, this is a new problem, he says, because of chemical fertilizers and so on, spraying, he says. So he doesn't think it's really such, it's not so clear that that's correct, this is a new problem. It's, you know, Libi Omerli basically says this is always a problem, and we know the Rishonim weren't so strict, Rishonim Kemalachim. So he says we have to, that's a strong argument for leniency. Again, he doesn't invoke the phrase being Motzi Laz, but he makes the argument that a certain deference and respect to earlier generations is important here. We shouldn't just think that we know everything, and if we think we have to be Machmer, we have to be Machmer, because we have the serious precedent of earlier generations. For Moshe Feinstein, in Igros Moshe, Lehedya brings the principle of you can't be motzi laz al harishonim. He was talking about certain types of bugs, infestations of vegetables, he says. So whatever the exact case was, he says, dati nota yosir lahakel. He's more inclined to be lenient, he says. He has certain svaras why he can be lenient, he says. If it's not, we can't really see it. It's not usur. It's not a barrier, he says, if it's so small that you can't even see it clearly with your eyes. Furthermore, he brings Aruch HaShulchan, that Dinberia doesn't apply to things that are disgusting, Dvarim HaMu'usim, there's no Dinberia, so they can apply the Halachas of Bittel. He has various studies to be lenient. And then he says, beyond the specific technical arguments for leniency, he says, Kmo Shamarti L'cho L'od Harbe Anashim. I've told you, and I've told many people, he says, that Bechlal, a very important rule in Halacha is, Yesh Chashivus G'dola B'Halacha L'min HaKa'olam. Minhag HaOlam has great weight in halacha, ulehecha amad dabar, v'osir lahotzi laz al doros hakanbonim. You're not allowed to be motzi laz and saying they were not makpid b'dvar meilu mishum shlo yadu mehem. Lomi ba, you can't say they were avaryanim, that they were kalei das. He says even to say they didn't know, even that's considered hotzas laz. So unlike Rabbi Laniado, who said that there's no raya from the minhag because they didn't know, Ramosha says osir lahotzi laz al doros hakanbonim. That would be called hotzas laz, to say they weren't machbid because they didn't know. That itself is hotzas laz, that you're smarter and you're more alert and you know better, he says. We're not talking about microscopes. Microscopes are not, don't create us. We're talking about things that they could have seen, but they didn't see. He says that would be considered hotzas laz. Similar to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that we showed him kemalachim, chas v'shalom shenichshelu bazeh. Alkein Amarti says, or Moshe says, that bli la'ayin heitei b'davar, he hasn't fully investigated, gotten to the bottom of the matter, he says. Kashuli ka'es, he can't do that right now. But he says, e'efshir l'achriya l'chumra, it's not possible to machriya l'chumra and to publicly announce, maybe you want to be machmer personally, fine, he says, but to be machriya, that this is usher, to be ma, he says, certainly, he says, that would be motzi laz al doros hakadmonim, kolshkein shein ritzoni, she has kirushmi, ke'echem e'arsim, certainly you want to enlist me on the ocean, he says, I'm certainly not gonna, I don't think you should do it, you certainly can't enlist my help, he says, because this is all bechlal, usher l'hotzi laz al rishon. Now again, the Ranach said that the Isra of Hotzas Laz is limited to Tinyane Erva, Tinyane family and Ishus, but many posts can disagree. And Ramosha apparently, whether he means the literal principle of Asir Lahotzi Laz or a general Hashkafic concern, Ramosha says that even in questions of Machalas Asuros, even in questions of bugs, you can't just be Motzi Laz and say everyone was wrong, everyone did Averis, and I know better, and I'm going to do it right. Again, Ramosha says you have to investigate further. If you investigate and you see that it's Asir, we're back to the Get Pashut's principle, that Trumas Hadeshin, that if it's me or them, if the Laz is on me or the Laz is on them, you know, I come first, and we come first, we have to do what we have to do. But in cases where the halacha is not so clear, and there's makom lahakel, there's asfaras lahakel, even if it's not ironclad, it's not open and shut, Ramosha seems to follow the school that rejects the Ranach and says that the principle of asur lahotzi laz applies even to machalos asuros, similar to what the Trumas Hadeshin says, that it applies to Erevin, and the poskim that say it applies to any isur, that saying that you're frumer and you know better than the Doros HaKadmonim. And an additional chiddush, Ramosha says this is true even if they didn't realize. Even if we accept that the Isra of Hotzas Laz applies to other Isurim, maybe that's only if the Doros Rishonim realize and were Mekel, but if they didn't know, they have Rav Laniado's far, they didn't know, so what's the power of that minhag? Moshe says no, even to say they didn't know, I guess if they should have known, to say that they didn't know, even that's it, the Asur Lahotzi Laz. So Moshe concludes that the Isra of Hotzas Laz, similar to Rav Shlomo Zalman, lo mistavrish Rishonim kemalachim, chas b'shalom nichshelu bazeh.
The Beis Havad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.